Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Welcome, family and listeners, to Us Lifting Us, Dare to Win, our program. We meet every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Here we have sober conversations and engage in some very stimulating discussions. I am Brother Shabaka, a member of Us Lifting Us, and I will be your host for this evening. One of the questions we want to ponder for this evening is, how does our lifestyle choices affect our economic progress? Let me ask that again. How does our lifestyle choices affect our economic progress? We want to tackle that and more, and we'll be right back with our special guest to try to tackle those questions. to Uplifting Us Dare to Win program. We meet every Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Again, I am Brother Shibata, board member of Uplifting Us, or ULU. You can participate by calling 929-477-2829. That's 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your phone keypad, and you can give a comment or have a question. Or you can also go to our ULU website, which is www.usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com, and click on the ULU radio tab. Next, look for a link. Click on that link, and you'll be able to join us online. Tonight, as I said, we have a very special guest, this Brother Thurman. Brother Thurman is also a ULU board member. Very energetic brother, and very deep in his thoughts on tonight's topic. Brother Thurman, how are you doing tonight, and would you like to say anything to our audience?
Yes, greetings, Brother Shibaka, and greetings to all of the ULU family and to the guests, people that may be on the line or on the call for the first time, and we definitely thank you for being here, and I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, Brother, we're glad to have you on the show. Let me ask you, how does our lifestyle choices affect our economic progress, according to you?
Well, then, when our eyes are open and our third eye is open and we just look at the enormous amount of evidence and what the outcomes here, everything is always about the outcome. You know, if I eat pork chops and chitlins and I want to be well, we need to look at the outcome. And the outcome, if I ate pork chops and chitlins, wouldn't be well. And the outcome that we are experiencing when it comes to large numbers of our people is that our lifestyle choices is having a very detrimental effect on our progress in comparison to the smaller but growing numbers of our sisters and brothers that really have greater clarity, their mind's eyes open, and we are making economic progress. Those of us, the 500-plus, 520-plus sisters and brothers that have stuck their neck out with and to be members of Us Lifting Us and have pooled their resources financial and intellectually, we are on the right path. We are making the proper choice. Are we still connected, brother?
Yes, go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to shut you off. Did you have something else you wanted to add to that?
I didn't know if you had another question, but I can continue on if you want.
Yeah, well, let me ask another question because you got into it. So the first thing that comes to my mind is that you know that we've been here, you know, 400-500 years, and evidently much of our history is not here. Technically, most of our history is someplace else, the African continent. How would you compare the choices or at least lifestyles from your understanding of that to what we have experienced here?
Well, the lifestyle that we have experienced here in comparison to what we had in Africa, there's a vast, vast difference. And if we just rely on what they taught us in history class at school, we'd probably be very confused about trying to begin to answer that. But when we have paid attention to our master teachers and educators from the past, look back like Sankofa to the past to understand how to go forward. We've got many, many ancestors that gave us the wisdom that we had in the past, and as time continues to go on, if we don't reach out and gather up that knowledge and bring it back into our minds so that we can reawaken, we're suffering tremendously from a severe deficiency of being the original people that had high culture systems and that accomplish things that has never been duplicated by any others. And so we so that's another part of the mission that those of us as us lifting us are going forward, that we are certainly about taking control of the economics of our communities, but we also know that there's much more for us to do, and that is to get back in touch with our greatness, and that requires that every aspect of our life we've got to be on the right side of that, and not on the wrong side. And when it comes to this subject that we're dealing with, as I said earlier, large numbers of our people are still there that's operating on the side that's not in our highest good. We can massively, I mean quickly, not in 10 years, not in 100 years, we can quickly take control. And what's the biggest element that's holding us back is just our mind. And so when you ask that question about being in Africa versus being here, the damage that was done to us, you know, by that enslavement and miseducation period has us largely out of our African mind.
I see, brother. Do you have any examples of those things that we sort of like strayed away, some of the things that we picked up that might be sort of like choices that might not necessarily be beneficial to us since we left the continent, particularly during this modern era?
Yeah. Well, we abandoned our spiritual powers and that would allow us to tap into not just the universe and the Most High, but also powers that we have within us. And just as an example, on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, I believe it was this past Sunday, there's a post that appears to be some Aborigines in Australia. And this is just a real good example, and you could just kind of notice how many people really read it and comprehended what it was saying. But it was saying that in their oral tradition, they passed on all of their high knowledge by it was written down in your mind, and they said that by writing it down in your mind, nobody can steal it from you, nobody can corrupt it. But as I reread it, and I just thought about how many people that wouldn't read it, or if they did read it, it was just irrelevant, they didn't get the significance of it. But we're talking about how it was a part of us, that oral tradition, that lots and lots of valuable information was written down in the minds, and it was passed on to people continuously. And now around the world, there's less and less of it being passed on from mind to mind. And also, to just say one more thing, is that when we were in touch with those things, we used that to protect us, and we used that to heal us, and we have abandoned those things. So some Africans living in our lifetime heard Africans living in this country talking about putting up a metal or wooden fence. And the ones that had come from home, they said, what? Because in their homeland, when they wanted a fence, those that were highly in touch, they created an invisible, energetic fence. And they didn't have any problem with trespassers, including animals.
So what you seem to be saying, brother, is that we have lost some of the things that, at least mentally, you know, as a consequence of our stay, I won't call it a stay, but our capture in this country, where things that we used to do, mental stuff that we used to do and probably other stuff, we no longer do. I can remember myself having traveled to West Africa, particularly in Mali, you know, the Dogons. The Dogons, you know, used to pride themselves on being able to, in fact, they had informed the French scientists of the dwarf star in the Sirius system. And of course, the French had to get a telescope to see it, but they couldn't find any such instrumentation among the Dogons. But let me... Well, you know, in saying that, what do you think about the use of microwaves and stuff like that? Do you think that might be detrimental? Because I'm thinking now in this modern era, we didn't have microwaves then. We got microwaves now and a few other things. What's your take on that?
it bombards our mental function. It messes and disrupts the cell functions. And I saw a picture of some people so-called walking down the street, and microwaves was around them. And the image that you saw of those people, it was blurred, but the blur was really from the effects of the microwave. It's anti-us. It's anti the universe. It's anti-us. It's anti-our sanity. So as an elder told me years ago before she passed, when she lived in the country in Southampton County, Virginia, which is Nat Turner territory, when she was there in the country at the home place, she had visitations from ancestors all the time. She left out of the country and moved into the city. When she got in the city, I asked her how many people were coming to see her, and she said, that's not happening too much. She said it was too much being blocked by all of this electricity and these microwave signals, as you asked about.
Yeah, I can understand that. In fact, I was listening today on the news, and they were talking about the cell phone towers, which emits, microwave. That's how they communicate. And they was talking about they had one set up in a school, and they noticed a higher than normal rate of cancer among young people, you know, who were going to the school. So I can definitely understand a lot of what you're saying. Well, from your explanation and earlier definition, how much control do we have? How much control do you think that we have in these lifestyle choices, particularly being in an environment which has been somewhat hostile to people of African descent?
Well, in terms of do we have any control or not, we have control. We have enormous control. We just have to tap in to the sources that we have, and especially collectively, we've got enormous control. And it's just like if you look at the progress that's being made and the greater progress that's going to be made with us lifting us in the cooperative model, when we collectively use our resources economically but also intellectually, we've got enormous control. And just like as you were speaking about having gone to Africa, and you experienced some other things that you just didn't even talk about, and some of us know that we have within us the ability to do a lot of things similar to the Dogon, but we're not using that. But all of that is we have the collective power, especially collectively, to accomplish enormous amount of things in spite of the opposition and the challenges. And we're just on a large scale, the masses have not realized that because they've been distracted with other things. And so what we must do with us lifting us, those of us that have pooled our resources, financial and intellectual, you know, we're going to be a part of that, the ones in the forefront that will lead the others down the road to righteousness.
I see. Thank you so much for that. That really clears up some stuff as I'm thinking back and hearing you talk. It really caused me to reflect back. If you wish to join this discussion, you got something you would like to add? Even if it's different, you know, we'd like to hear from you. Dial 929-477-2789 and press 1 on your keypad, your phone pad, and you can ask your question or make a comment. That's 929-477-2789. We're going to take a slight station break, and when we come back, we're going to ask Brother Thurman, if we have some degree of control, or a lot of control, as he says, in making these lifestyle choices that can benefit us, why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we taking it? All right. When we come back. welcome back to Uplifting Us, Dare to Win radio program. We are here every Thursday night at 9 p.m. with sober discussions. And if you would like to participate, you can call us at 929-477-2789 and press 1 on your keypad and answer your question or make your comment. Brother Thurman, before we get back to that question that I asked you just before we got on the break, I like to pose this one. As you know, young people growing up are subject to the decisions made by their parents until they reach at least the age of maturity or adulthood. However, during those formative years, how much of an impact do parents have on the lifestyle choices that we as adults make?
The parents have a lot of influence, and I would think that for some parents it'd be difficult to calmly process this, what I'm going to say. But they have a lot of influence, and so it's kind of like is it A or is it B? On the A side, if the parents are involved in a lifestyle, and I need to go back after I say this about and define lifestyle and define choice, but the parents are into a lifestyle choice that is anti the health, anti the sanity of the children. And that's why we have whatever the number, if it's a smaller number, we have too many African children that have been damaged in their thought pattern. Not that they're mentally retarded or anything like that, but just in their thought pattern based on their lifestyle because of having parents whose lifestyle is out of order. And we can look back in time and we could ask our oldest elders about how the children were when they were young people, when they were children and when they were young adults. And there was a dramatic difference in the way that children used to be. And there's lots of elders around that can testify to that, but it's because of the difference in the parenting. And so as Dick Gregory said before he passed, the children are like they are because the elders are afraid of the children and have stopped being elders. And when the elders stop being afraid of the children and come back to being elders again, the children won't be like they are. And so now if you take the children, let's say on the B side, that have high culture parents that are highly embracing the culture and they're knowledgeable about that, and it's part of their daily thought and living, and they're not being absorbed by all of this foolishness and foulness, those children are having a totally different experience. And so if you take the African-centered schools, for example, in comparison to the majority of the public schools, these African-centered schools and the ones that have been around for a long time, they're having an enormous success rate with their children in terms of academics and their high self-esteem in comparison to the schools that have dropout rates that's 40-50% and more. So, yes, the parents have an opportunity, and there's parents that are doing well, and there's parents that's also failing.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, let me go back to my original question. That is, in saying what you just said, you know, based on the influence that we might have in our formative years from our parents, now we are adults. How come we are not making those wise economic choices that affect our progress? Why aren't we doing that?
Well, in that subject that we're dealing with the term lifestyle and choices. So, for example, lifestyle is the way a group lives. Their cultural values or lack of. Their fashion, advertising influence, economic status, morals, attitudes, intoxicating substances, and things like that. And then choice is making a decision or selection when given two or more options. And so, for example, soul food, given the option of soul food or plant-based diet, given the option of getting high on life or getting high on chemicals, given the option, the choice, or option, they're the same. given the choice of speaking love language to our people or cursing them. We've got these choices. Well, when we get sucked up into the lifestyle choices that's got all of these various ways that we could live that our ancestors didn't used to have, because we're talking about bringing forth these lifestyle, introducing our people and the planet to lifestyle choices that did not exist. And in the high cultures of Africa, they didn't exist, and if anybody had even heard of them or mentioned them, it wouldn't be allowed. So out of that, this lifestyle choice programming, we get socialized. And so, yes, when you say when they reach their adult age, why aren't they? It's because they've been socialized, and they allow that, and they don't counter it by beginning to feed themselves right knowledge and also feed their body right knowledge. And when you feed your body nutrition, when you give good nutrition to the body, it opens up the mind's eye. It opens up your spiritual and your powers, that you got a greater insight and a greater desire to do good things and great things, along with proper knowledge, cultural knowledge, and accurate historical knowledge. And when the people are not getting that because they're so distracted with other stuff, you know, getting a 40 or going out to the club and chasing some N's and some B's or whatever, that's they've been socialized improperly, and that's anti-us.
Oh, brother, you said a mouthful there. I guess I'm going to have to give up that pig seat. Look, listeners, family, we're going to take a slight break, slight commercial break, and station break, not commercial. And we're going to ask Brother Thurman. Brother Thurman is imparting us with some very good and solid information. If so, how are choices that we collectively make as a people, how does that affect our economic progress? We're going to ask Brother Thurman that when we come back off the break. Stay tuned. Family, to us, lifting us, Dare to Win radio programming. As I said earlier, we meet every Thursday night at 9 p.m. with sober discussions. If you would like to participate, you can dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And press 1 on your keypad and ask your question or make a comment. We have with us our guest is Brother Thurman, who has been addressing lifestyle choices and their effects. Brother Thurman, let's continue this discussion. In your opinion, how are we affected economically by lifestyle choices we make?
We're affected in a very harmful, detrimental way, because there's enormous amount of money that our people are spending on lifestyles that have nothing to do with our needs. It has to do with our, you could say, entertainment or our just consumerism. But, you know, see, there's needs, and then there's some desires and some fantasies. But needs is just a whole nother story. The environment that we live in that includes us has always, there's a need to have air to breathe and water to drink and food to eat, and there's an ecosystem that functions when it's all in order, when it's out of order. But anyway, the ecosystem, as it you know, the natural and universal system, did not need a microwave tower and a cell phone or microwave oven and a driverless car and artificial intelligence. It didn't need that, because we had the capability of going very, very deep within, with a brain computer and not a man-made computer with a lot of metals and chemical substances in it. It's affecting us because we could be dramatically making huge strides every day, starting today and tomorrow, the next day, and then we're going forward to do that, to awaken our people to the value in us participating in this cooperative model and making our withdrawal away from this brutal, cruel, capitalistic model that has never, the oppressors that dominate this capitalistic model, they have never, ever, from the time that they started brutalizing us, killing us, they have never, ever stopped. And if the masses of us really got that, we would get stronger and stronger all over the planet every day. And we are, but there's still a whole lot of us that still, their mind is kind of at the playground. And so we're in a state of emergency. War is being waged on us, and from day to day, our mind cannot be wrapped up in the playground. And so, give you an example that this is just reality. It's not something you and I made up, but we are devoting huge amounts of money. And if you started looking at the numbers and said, what could we do righteously with this money? So, for example, in 2017, there is just one estimate that the ethnic hair and beauty industry collected $54 million from our people, maybe more. But say, but just imagine right at this moment, us members, if we had $54 million to build businesses, black-owned and controlled businesses where we're employing our people, what could we do with that? And then another market of mixed brands, 2017, $1.2 trillion was spent by our people. And the word was that the markets have to respond to these people because they want that money, so they keep putting stuff out there, more and more stuff, more and more trinkets for them to buy. And then, you know, there's bleaching cream. It's up in the millions, and it's outrageous. It's like, are we hallucinating? Are there really African people in the U.S. and around the world using bleaching cream today? And the fact is, they are. And so all of that is affecting us when our people willfully will go out to all of these various brand-name restaurants to eat every week, every weekend, none of them owned and controlled by us. But just what would happen if tomorrow 75% of them, and then as the numbers goes up, they just stood in line if they needed to come to black-owned and owned and controlled businesses. Just think of where we would be and think of what kind of security and backup we would have for ourselves. And then with that, we would be growing our own food. We'd have we'd be taking advantage of the land that we still have available in spite of what was stolen from us. And then our black farmers that are presently growing food that have difficulty selling their food at the markets that when they go to others, they always have. But when we come forth and get that collective attitude and the cooperative attitude, we would be lining up to buy from them, and they would have a market, and they could expand their markets. And not only that, when we got those black farmers, and lots of them are organic, and if they're not, a lot of them are going to it, and more of them will go to it. If you bring them their business, they'll go to it. And we need to have food grown by those that's in our communities around the world so we'll know what's in it. I hope that made some sense.
Yeah, it did. It's very interesting. So I can see, you know, some of the commodities that we choose are not necessarily good for us, but they're thrown at us because of the influence of the general, the controllers of the general world population. Well, as you know, Ulu is a cooperative business. In light of what you said, how can Ulu help?
Ulu has in place a winning plan for us to take control of the economics of our community. And Ulu is there. It's, you know, we're still building, but a lot has been already built because several years ago, maybe a small group of sisters and brothers, maybe about six, came together as a study group. And part of it was a part of the inspiration was that our elder founder Baba Hakima had been participating in Kwanzaa since I believe 1965. In all of those years, he saw excitement in December dealing with the principles, the Kwanzaa principles, including cooperative economics. But for the most part, there wasn't any significant movement economically. Because after the Kwanzaa, the 7 days passed by, they went on back to something else. See, one of the things that we've got to do in that socialization that has damaged our people's direction and got us distracted, we really got a greater loyalty to the system that brutalizes us. And when we reawaken and take the pillow from our head, we would say, no, 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 we're not going to accept this, and we're going to pool our resources, money, intellectual resources, and we're going to build for ourselves, we're going to educate ourselves and stop the brutalization to our people and come back to our rightful place.
Okay, brother, I hear what you're talking about. Family, we're going to take another, probably the last music break before concluding. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Brother Thurman about Cafe Ulu and what does he see as we move forward from there. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way go and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shows together, we're polishing up our actors. If you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Brother Shabaka,
are you there?
Brother Zerman, yes, I'm here, brother. Welcome back, family. Glad to bring you back. We have a very lively discussion, an interesting discussion with Brother Zerman on life style changes and choices that we make. I see that we have a caller on the line, and I'm going to open that line up to the caller who may have a question. Caller, the last four digits of your phone is 1816. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from, and give us your question or comment.
Greetings. This is Sister Ikena calling from Stone Mountain, Georgia. I'm an Ulu member. Peace,
greetings,
to everyone. Yes. So listening to the conversation, and I was just thinking about the young people that are involved with Us Lifting Us, and it's really just a wonderful example of how when they are given all of the things they need, the right tools, the right people around them, they're flourishing. And so we have several, you know, youth members of Us Lifting Us, and I'm really excited when I see them. They come in to Cafe Ulu, you know, contribute their time working with us on site there, behind the counter. And right now, those young people are getting ready to help celebrate the one-year anniversary of Cafe Ulu, the business that was launched by Us Lifting Us. So I just wanted to give a shout-out, you know, a word of acknowledgement that we do have young people that are immersed in a positive lifestyle, a holistic lifestyle, an African-centered lifestyle. All is not lost. We've got a lot of hope when we see these young folks doing what they do. And we just want to continue to support them and to attract them into doing the work that's the foundation's been laid by Ulu members, by our ancestors, by our elders. And now it's like being open to handing that baton to them and letting them run the race for us and with us.
All right, Sister Ikena, very, very important note that you made there, keeping us focused and optimistic. We really appreciate that comment. And Brother Zerman, did you have a comment that you would like to make following that?
Oh, I'm thankful that Sister Ikena are doing some powerful work for Us Lifting Us and for the community, and a powerful voice that's staying on the scene, and we thank her all the time. And good reminder, and I think you might have another call, is that right?
Yeah, we have another call. Caller, last four digits of your number is 7004. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from with your comment or question.
Greetings. This is Jesse calling from Atlanta.
Greetings, Brother Jesse.
Greetings, Brother Thurman. Good to hear your voice.
Greetings. Greetings, bro.
I've been privileged to be able to be a major component in the Cafe Ulu promotion, the Tuesday night jam session. And I've been able to serve on the planning committee for our upcoming anniversary. And I'd like to remind the present members of the need to make this anniversary a major membership drive for the Us Lifting Us character of what our co-op does and should represent for our community. No one else should be ahead of us in bringing opportunity and unity together or to our communities, because as Sister Akina previously said, from the perspective of reaching out to gain other like-minded brothers and sisters or create a like mind in them, because our situation was orchestrated to our people, and a lot of people want to throw away the population of us that are still inside the box, and that's a good portion of us. Yet when you talk about cooperative economics in Gusa Saba, when you talk about Mayotte, and you talk about the work, right now we need the Ulu members who have already had a taste of unity in this cooperative effort. I'm also a member, and I reach out especially to shareholders. This is the time to especially come in and support efforts, support the fact that we can have vendors available. I don't know if Sister Akina was able to tell you, but this year for our anniversary, our first anniversary for our first business endeavor, all Ulu members should be extra enthusiastic about supporting the efforts in the promotion of this event. It represents a cooperative effort of our people, and that means the education of our people, which we have to get to after we are more successful with this particular business endeavor. This is the tip of a very large iceberg. I would like all of our members to remember that the work is only beginning, but it is beginning on a very good spirit, and it has a very strong ancestral history behind it.
Okay, brother.
Well, thank you so much, brother, for that. Can you share with us some particulars, you know, date, times, and anything
yes,
else?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, sir. On April 20th, we will be celebrating the first anniversary of Cafe Ulu, and it will begin with a Ethiopian coffee ceremony. You can go to the website and get details to pre-register for this coffee ceremony. And keep in mind, our business is a coffee business first and foremost, though we've brought many things into play to increase the revenue within the realm of that particular business. Now, that day will begin inside with the coffee. There'll also be a sip and paint event that is inside, for which you can sip. I believe it's, I think this is for teas, if I'm not mistaken. But once again, go into our website, which will have the information, or going to Eventbrite, because some of the events, there are free events, yet some of the events are paid. The Ethiopian coffee event is put together by another woman. I can't think of her name now, but the point is we have to know how many people would like to enjoy that event so that we can know whether it's going to be feasible for it to offer to the community. And keep in mind, we're doing this without a budget. So those of us who are out there for Cafe Ulu's success should keep in mind that we are still on the ground that needs not just your financial support, but a lot of times your intellectual support. There are many opportunities that are opening up, and we can only go with what we know and facilitate the ideas that we can handle by ourselves. And even though you've made the investments in many cases, the time to make the cooperative, co and operate together, not just invest, we must learn to operate with each other. That is part of what the Ngusa Saba is teaching us. And if I could say more, the outdoors event will have, we're really right now discussing, and I don't want to say anything concerning vendors, but Ulu vendors are premium and are asked to come forward immediately. You can contact myself. I'd be glad to leave a number. Or you can contact Cafe Ulu, and I will say that should get you the opportunity to ensure your position as a vendor. And we're hoping for a very professional vendor presence. You will have to provide your own tent and your own tables. However, we will be providing a stage and promoting this with over 2,000 cards. And we have presently 11 by 17 posters already in print.
Okay, brother, why don't you go ahead and give your number? We'll give another number, but why don't you go ahead and give yours if you don't mind?
Yes, sir. Again, my name is Jesse, and I can be reached at 770-837-7004.
All right, thank you, brother. Amen. Really appreciate that information. We want all of you out there in the surrounding areas, surrounding states. If you can get there on the 20th, we like you there. I might try to see if I can drive down, if possible, all the way from D.C. Let my support. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
If I may, brother, during the day, because we've been offering a jam session on Tuesday nights, there will be an all-day jam session during the concert. We have a feature artist for outdoors. In that evening, you'll be able to hear the jazz quartet, Eldridge Sims. And if you Google Eldridge Sims, this is world-class jazz. The tickets, we're doing this as a membership drive. The whole day is to get members. So we're urging new members to come in at $70, which will get you a membership and the opportunity to see the jazz concert of the Sims Quartet. Now, for our regular members, I believe the ticket price is going to be $15. And we are going to have two sets. The first set will offer a dinner, and we're discussing whether that will be how that dinner will be provided. It will offer a vegetarian meal and probably a fish, and that's in the air right now. But there will be a dinner, and the second set will be a $20 ticket, and we're putting together different packages for members. So this would be a very opportune time, if you haven't made the decision to become a member, to see a great jazz band and support us, because the whole day is to ensure that the cafe is known to the community. Yet the community has to know that the cafe is owned by a we. And if we don't come out and show that we are that we, it's going to be difficult for us to bring more people into this family. And we should all remember that. And children, every child you can find, bring this child out. Let this child be a part of this community activity, because that is where this is going to continue. We've started it, but it is not for us.
All right, brother, thank you so much for that. And for those of you who are maybe not familiar with Cafe Ulu, you can get there at 2036 Sylvan Road, Atlanta, Georgia. That's 2036 Sylvan Road. Or you can call there 470-788-8124. Or if you want more information, you can also call our main number, 404-592-2780. That's 404-592-2780. Or our email, info@usliftinguf.org. Thurman.com. Brother Thurman, you have
hello? I apologize. I actually have to interrupt you, beloved. I just got an email. Prices for the concert have not been set yet. I think the $15 ones are set, but the packages are not set. So give us some time until the 20th to actually set those prices. But that information will be at the website. And I got an email after they heard it as soon as it came out of my mouth. So I apologize. That's my bad. Okay.
All right. All right, brother. Brother Thurman, you got a closing remark before we close out?
Well, I just...
None are set yet.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I apologize.
You,
none of those prices are set yet. I'm getting emails as I speak. I apologize, gentlemen.
Yes,
okay, we got it, brother. Nothing firm, but they're going to keep up. They got your number. They got the number of the office as well as the website. Go ahead, Brother Thurman.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, family, thanks very much, brother, for the information about Cafe Ulu, and make sure that you go to cafeulu.com, cafeulu.com, to get the updates about this very important event on April the 20th. And make sure that when you go to cafeulu.com, that's their webpage, and also go to Cafe Ulu on Facebook. And when you go to their page, like their page so that you can keep up with all of these events that's going on, including the events every week for the seniors, the chess for all ages, including the children's, the musicians' jam, and many other things, including Professor Griff that was there, I believe it was yesterday, and he's going to be back next week. And much, much more. And also like the Us Lifting Us Facebook page. Stay with us, family. If you're not a member, make sure that you come forward and take a good look at Us Lifting Us, usliftingus.com, and go through the videos on the right-hand side of the home page, especially the top video, which is a presentation. And then take a good look at Us Lifting Us, and you can email us, you can tell us, call us, it's also on the website, and you see that there's value in us pooling our resources and building powerful institutions so that we can save the babies and save the people and save the planet. Come join us, apply for membership. You have to apply for membership, and we're here every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and make sure that you pass the word on network about all that's going on with Us Lifting Us, including this event. We got to come out strong April the 20th to Us Lifting Us Cafe Ulu event. Cafe Ulu is the Us Lifting Us. It's the first business, the first storefront business that Us Lifting Us has opened, and that happened because of the 520-plus sisters and brothers that have stuck their neck out to make it happen with their pooling their resources. And we thank you so much, Baba Shabaka. Thank you so much always, brother, and we'll be in touch, and we got to just keep it on the road.
All right, until next week, 9 p.m., brothers and sisters, stay strong.
Ashe.